Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Preparing our hearts for the end times. So just as we were dialoguing this, I feel woefully inadequate to speak on this topic. But God's got grace for that. instead of giving you guys who have all been in a lot of Brad's teaching, like just the layout, we thought we would focus on preparing our hearts. And so we're going to go through four different points, and then we're going to open it up for questions. So I'm going to give it to, I'm going to have Luke pray, because I already prayed.
Yes, Lord, just help us tonight, just let wisdom and revelation come. Whereas we talk about familiar topics, as we talk about new subjects tonight, would you just stir our hearts up and speak to us in Jesus' name. All right, so we have the first point. What are we preparing for? So again, these are probably, maybe there's some new ideas. I'm guessing a lot of it will be familiar territory. So just the perspective that we want is just to give a very broad overview of the end times, those 150 chapters in your Bible. There's a ton of stuff. So we're trying to thinking of like, what is the simplest version of presenting the end times for those of you who may be new to the subject or who either are current small group leaders or eventually will be, which is pretty much everyone in this room. If you're part of this church, you know, when the Lord brings all those prophetic things that he's spoken over this church, like we're going to look to us who have been part of this church for a while as the leaders. So just as we're going through these points, just, you know, come from that perspective as a student, but also a teacher, like, how would you answer these points that we're going to talk about? How would you respond to these questions that other people have? So that's just a different perspective that you can come from. So, all right, so point number one, what are we preparing for? So the main point of this topic is just what is the end times in the simplest version? And I'm a pretty simple guy, so I was like, there's a lot of positive things that are going to happen. There's great glory. There's awesome things that are going to happen. And then there's a lot of negative things and very, you know, things that we read our Bible and we get kind of scared by and don't really want to, you know, pray those things in, but they're going to happen. So we'll start with the good one. So positive is, you know, Acts 2, Joel 2, you guys know the verse, you know, God's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. The sons and daughters are going to prophesy, you know, visions and dreams and just so many awesome things. Well, the Holy Spirit is going to come and minister to us in the end times in an increasingly deeper and more profound way. He's going to flow through us. All these things that we read about in our Bible, about the book of Acts, like they're not just going to become stories. They're not going to just be stories to us, but they're going to become experiences that you and I have that we can tell our kids, that we can share for time to come. So, you know, God's voice is going to be speaking to us. His power is going to be flowing through us. And part of that, you know, you put two and two together, the church on fire for the Lord. Well, there's going to be people who are not following the Lord that when they see us, when they see, you know, us having encounters and being filled with joy and walking in God's power, they're going to want that for their lives. They're going to realize that, hey, these Christians that I've, you know, grew up with, like they're onto something here and I need that in my life. So there's going to be mass salvations. There's going to be people coming in, you know, off the streets. So again, for our church context, you know, picture if you're a current small group leader, we got, you know, people that you may be have running with for a few years. Well, picture, you know, the drug addicts or people getting saved, people from your high school getting saved, and now, congratulations, they're in your small group, and you're responsible for leading them, for preparing them. So there's going to be mass salvations. And then just on the negative side of things, you know, there's going to be great trials. There's going to be difficulties. A common picture is, you know, think of a snow globe. Everything's at rest and settled. Well, God's going to turn that thing over, you know, shake it up, stir it up, and put it back down, and it's going to be crazy all over. Well, congratulations. That's you and I's life in a few coming years. Haggai 2 said that God promised to shake everything that can be shaken, so that which is not be shaken will remain. So there's just going to be a lot of our comforts and a lot of things that we're used to that are going to be taken away from us, that are going to be greatly reduced, and people are going to get offended by that. People are going to, you know, start to persecute believers in a new way. So there's going to be just, you know, even within the church, there's going to be a falling away, and people who were once believers are going to target, you know, brother turning against brother, parents turning against children. There's just going to be all these negative things that we experience as well. So in summary, there's going to be a lot of positive things, a lot of glory, and also a lot of trials, a lot of things that we have to walk through that is really going to be very different than we are currently used to. So what are we preparing for, Amy Ader?
So basically, so what I did was I just outlined the negative because that's the way my brain thinks. Because that's the stuff that I really have to prepare for. So the scriptures that I use to reference these things, I'm just going to list them out for you. Revelation 6 through 11, that's not the entire end times, but that's just what I used. In Matthew 24, verses 3 through 51. So the biggest thing, so Luke already mentioned a bunch of these: persecution and martyrdom, offense, backsliding, betrayal, lawlessness, murder, wars, famines, earthquakes, natural disasters. And then I think one of the things that we don't think about that is going to happen, of course, when all of these things happen, then that also means disruption of services. That means that your life is no longer convenient. The air isn't working. The food is not there in the grocery store. Those are the things that are like the things that you don't think about that are going to be real and happening. But the thing that I think is most, like for me, is a big deal is the great deception that there will be. And, you know, really preparing, like that's one of the things that as a church, as a people, we really need to be prepared that the enemy is going to try to deceive us. And that our hearts will probably experience offense. And right now is the time where we learn how to deal with that offense, that deception, that it's a mental game we're playing, more so, I think, than it is, you know, like all the bad things will definitely be happening. But the thing is, you know, like it is with most things in society, is we're going to see it on a scale that we've never seen it before. But if you read through a lot of them, it's like a third, a third, a third. So probably, you know, all of those thirds aren't going to hit you. But you're going to be seeing it. And you're going to be living in the midst of it. And it's going to hit your brother. And it's going to hit, you know, your like close friends, and it's going to hit your children. And knowing how to position our hearts to not be deceived and not be offended is the biggest thing, I think, what we as a church need to be preparing for. So that's all I got on that.
All right, next point, and again, these are super broad, and we're just giving you guys some answers, kind of stir up, you know, again, as we present these, like, how would you answer these questions? So number two, how are we to prepare? So we just went over kind of in a broad sense, what are the end times? What are they about? Well, next one is, if that's true, like, how are we supposed to live? How then shall we live? How are we supposed to prepare? So just in this most basic sense, I'd say it takes effort, energy. Just like anything that you're preparing for. If you're preparing for a test, you know, holding the textbook against your brain and, like, sleeping on it, I mean, might not be the most effective way to prepare for a test. If you do, if that works for you, then pray for me, and you can pass that anointing to me. But just like with anything, you know, it's new at first and it's hard and difficult, and it takes persistence, it takes energy, it takes investment on your part, it takes overcoming frustration and setbacks as we study the end times. So just pretty much just doing anything, even if it's like listening to Bible teaching or just anything that is end times related, that's a good start. And I know our church, you know, most of us around here are studying this thing. But just encourage, you know, as you meet people that are new to this topic, just tell them, just dive in. Just start familiarizing yourself with the end times, with these ideas. So that's the first one, is it just takes energy. We have to be proactive. We have to actually actively pursue this if we want to be, you know, ones of understanding, ones who are prepared. Next thing is, I would say, begin to familiarize yourself with the main big picture ideas of the end times. You know, who are the characters? You know, what's going to happen? What's at the end? Like, these different ideas that are just very big, very broad, that are laced throughout Scripture. And, you know, kind of, you know, figure out the timeline, or kind of just the broad strokes of knowing what the end times are. And once you're feeling like you got it a little bit, then I would say just dive in, pick any topic, any theme, any idea, any verse on the end times, and just invest energy into going a little deeper into that, and kind of, you know, lingering in it for maybe a week or two in the prayer room or longer, you know, reading commentary, meditating on it, whatever you want to do, but just take the time to invest into those things. So that's just some tips on how we actually prepare for the end times, regarding the end times. And then the other one I would say, regardless of the end times, like what preparing looks like to me is having a life of prayer, like seeking to love more than just, you know, learning the information of what's in your Bible about the end times. Like, just have your heart right before the Lord. You know, those who are actively pursuing God, like, it's not like the end times are going to, you know, come upon us in an intense way and the Lord's just going to say, okay, you guys are on your own. Like, he's going to help us. You know, those who have a listening ear, those who have taken time to hear their voice, like, he's going to speak to them. He's going to lead them through the end times, just like he led his church through every other era of existence. So just start now. You know, build a life of prayer. Live wholeheartedly now. The commission of Matthew 25, it calls, just that you guys know it, the wise and foolish virgins, the ones who, you know, they just knew it was coming, but they got caught up with the cares of life, and they said, I'll get to that eventually, versus the ones who are like, okay, the bridegroom is coming back. I need to start preparing now. I need to not wait until, you know, these five circumstances in my life change, or until this thing happens. It's making today the day that we begin to prepare for the end times. Again, whatever that looks like for you. Just begin that journey somewhere. Just start somewhere. And then just being how to prepare is just position yourself with the posture of Isaiah and just saying, Lord, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Speak to me. You know, I want to be prepared. Like, turn that into a dialogue with the Lord. He'll equip you. He'll give you the tools. He'll lead you on what that may look like specifically for your life in the Lord.
Amen. So the way that I approach this particular topic is, so the Bible oftentimes likens the end times to labor. And since I've been through labor, I feel like, you know, I don't know what the end times are going to be like, but there's some things that you learn once you've gone through labor about how to, you know, position your heart. And so these are lessons from labor.
Lessons from labor.
So firstly, I want to, if you ever study the end times just a little bit, you will hear the phrase patient endurance. Patient, able to accept or tolerate delays, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. Endurance, the ability to do something difficult for a long time, the ability to deal with pain or suffering that continues for a long time. So James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. So here are the lessons. First, rest. if you're going through something for a very, very long time, you need to learn to take those moments that you can rest and rest. And this doesn't mean you go sit in front of Netflix for 5 hours. This means that you rest in the Lord. It says Psalm 37:7a, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And then Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. And then also eat. You have to continue to eat the scroll, to eat the word, because it's going to be what sustains you. And Psalm 119:49-50, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. When you're going through something, the great thing about the Lord is he gives us events even now to go through, to learn how to cultivate patient endurance, to learn how to cultivate this resting in him. You know, it talks about the parable of the 10 virgins, and it said, when it says, some of them had oil and some of them didn't. I really believe, and I believe that that oil is the resting in the Lord. It's the waiting on him, and it's the abiding in the Lord. If we haven't learned how to abide and rest and wait in the Lord, we won't make it through the hard times. If we're just always gritting our teeth like this and like, oh, I'm going to make it, that's not how you get through labor. You have to learn to, like, you know, in the birth pains, the beginnings, you rest as much as you possibly can. You lay aside those weights. You lay aside those things that are going to bring you down, and you rest in the Lord. So the other is keep calm. Faith trumps fear. Guard your heart and mind according to the word. Don't be ignorant or apathetic. That doesn't mean that, you know, I'm calm because I'm not listening to anything. La, 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 la. It says in Proverbs 17:27, a man of understanding is of calm heart. And Jesus even said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. God didn't tell us about the end times so we could be scared and afraid. He told us about them so that we could have peace. I always tell Brett, like, he comes home late almost all the time. But I said, I can handle anything as long as I know the outside number. Just tell me the outside number. And that's what the Lord did for us in this book. He gave us the outside number. He told us what was going to happen so that when it happened, we wouldn't be afraid, so that we would have understanding and we would have clarity to know how to go through it. Oh, you said that was going to happen. So, okay, I know I don't have to worry about those locusts. We're coming now because you said that was going to happen. So that's all I got.
That's great.
Lessons from labor. Woo! All right. So we talked about what are the end times. We talked about how to prepare. So point number three is the why, which we love around here. Why? Behind the what. So why should we prepare to the end times? You know, you pick up your Bible. There's a lot of pages about a lot of things. Well, there's a lot of good subjects, a lot of good topics. Why should we care about the end times? It's a great question. My first and biggest answer to this is actually just the character of God. It's not even about the events, not even about us going through things or standing strong. It's about the end times being the greatest revelation, or the most full revelation that the church can know of God. It's things that are very, very dear to the Lord. And it's his story that he wrote, that he prepared it this way. He's the mastermind of this epic adventure of all of human history, and then it's culminating in the end times. Like, the Lord, he's a poet. He loves stories. He loves, you know, the climax when things get intense and the, you know, good and evil clash. Like, you guys like movies that are that way, and the Lord, you know, he's designed it that way. So why should we prepare? Well, you guys know this, but there's 150-plus chapters in the book, the Bible, about the end times. So this is something that's really dear to the heart of the Lord. Even in the book of Revelation, it's called, in the first chapter, it's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. So God is saying from the very beginning that, hey, you want to know Jesus, you want to grow, you know, in the grace and knowledge of God, you want to be ones who, like, love the Lord. Well, the end times is about Jesus. It's about him revealing, God revealing himself in a way that we have not seen yet, or in the fuller measure than what we've experienced in our current, you know, experience of church life. So, so God wants to be known. He wants us to, you know, he doesn't want to be in heaven, you know, doing it alone. He doesn't want to be leading the end times without a church that's partnering with him. Like, the Lord wants you, he wants you, put your name, make it personal. He wants you to be ones who do not stand against his agenda. And he's like, I love you, but you're standing against me. He wants to love you and love that you take time to know the things that he cares about. So that's the biggest one. And then if we take it personally about us, there's a few things that I come up with, and Amy hit one of them earlier about deception, is the end times are marked. Jesus tells us over and over again, he's like, do not be deceived, do not be deceived. False Christ, false prophets, false teachers, all these deception and lies and things permeating our world today and traveling through the realm of media, that there's just so much out there that we as the believers can give ourselves to look at that is false, that is not true. And Jesus warned us about that. So us actually preparing and studying the end times, like, it guards our hearts from deception. And it prepares us to be able to discern, you know, between right and wrong, between what is true and what is not true, between, you know, maybe a guy that has, you know, he's got a, I'm not going to go there, but it gives us power to discern. So that's one thing, is deception. Next one is offense. So deception is being deceived into something. And offense is like when we're mad at the Lord. That's what I'm referring to it as. So with the increase of difficulties in the end times, the things that Amy described, and the things that the church is led through, you know, your life, my life getting disrupted in ways that we may not be too excited about, there's going to be so much more room for offense at the Lord, offense at others. You know, maybe you are genuinely following the Lord, and, you know, you're in the midst of a community who's experiencing God, and maybe your best friend is getting, you know, all this vision and these visions and encounters and on fire with the Lord, and you're, like, feeling more oppressed and depressed than ever. And there's so much. Even in the midst of a community who's experienced the move of God, there's so many opportunities to be offended, to be bitter, to compare ourselves, let alone people who haven't prepared, and then their lives get shaken. And it's just, you know, it's like getting a rug pulled out from underneath you. It's when our lives take a dire turn for the worse in many areas, if we're not prepared, our hearts are vulnerable to be led by our emotions, to be led by our external circumstances, rather than the word of God and what he says. So that's why we need to prepare. We need to familiarize ourselves for what is coming so that we are not caught off guard. And then finally, you know, we want to be ones, not just that clench our fists and pray that we make it through the end times. We want to be ones who actually, like, are able to minister, ones who have got clarity so that we're able to help those who maybe heard a message like this and didn't prepare, or ones who are weaker in the faith. We want to be able to, you know, extend our hand to them and say, hey, let me show you the way to the Lord. Let me show you the ways. Let me teach you what the Bible says. Let's do this together. And if we prepared, then God is more able to use us because we have that experience. We have the understanding. So just a verse that I love, and I pray it all the time, and you can steal it if you want. It's Jeremiah 3:15. It says, I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed with knowledge and understanding. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want for my life. Like, I want to prepare now so that I can be a shepherd, so I can be a father to those and give them understanding, give them knowledge, so that, you know, I see them in heaven one day and I'm like, man, you endure these hard times and you made it through. Like, that's what I have vision for. So yeah, those are just a few of my thoughts on how we should prepare.
So I'm going to hit on one of the same points that Luke hit on about the offense thing. So I'm going to give you guys another birth lesson. So with Ezra's birth, I like to call Ezra's birth my pre-trib rapture mentality birth experience. So somebody had given me this book that was called Supernatural Childbirth. Don't read it. You will be offended. And it was all about, it was basically like, you won't have pain when you go through birth. If you just read these scriptures and you believe that the Lord loves you enough, then you will have faith and you'll not have pain. And I was like, yes, because my first labor was 96 hours. And so I was like, I'm going for the supernatural childbirth. I want out of here before the tribulation. So, long story short, Ezra's birth was 48 hours long and not pain-free, and he was 9 pounds, 1 ounce. And I even went to the hospital to get a way out, and they said, no, you can't have the epidural. Your white blood cell count is high. So I was super, super, super offended because I had been planning and preparing for something other than pain. And so... So why should you prepare? So that you're not offended. Jesus said in John 16:1, I have told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith. He tells us, I mean, why? Why would the Lord tell us over and over? It's like, I want you to stay strong. I want you to make it. I don't want you to, like, be offended with me when you see all of these things happening. So then the other thing is, I mean, Jesus told us to. So, in Matthew 24, 45 through 47, it talks about the reward for the faithful and sensible servant. But then it says, but what if the servant is evil and thinks, my master won't be back for a while, and he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk? The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. I don't want Jesus to cut me to pieces. So, you know, like Jesus told us to, prepare, get ready. And if we're not prepared, here's the thing. If you're overly prepared, I'm sure Jesus isn't going to be like, man, you were really so ready for me to come back. You were a little bit early. You should have waited. Like, he's not going to judge us for being too ready for him to come back. But he will cut you to pieces if you're not ready for him to come back. Just, that's all. And, oh, one more thing. So that we will have strength to endure. If you're not prepared, you don't have strength to endure. In 1 Kings 19:3, and this is completely out of context, but it's an analogy that I think fits because of the whole labor thing. Hezekiah says, it is like when a child is ready to be born, but the mother has no strength to deliver the baby.
Wow.
That really happens. And it will really happen to Christians in the end, where it comes time for you, that thing to be birthed, for the Lord to come back, and the Christians don't have strength to go through it. And they will give up, because they did not prepare, because they did not have oil in their lamps, and they couldn't go through it. So, prepare.
And then our last point before we get to the Q&A kind of goes along the same lines of how we are to prepare, but I want to talk about having our hearts anchored on the final victory. I know that's just something for me that's been a real when the Lord touches my heart, whether I'm depressed or just caught up in the mundane of life, not even getting persecuted, just kind of have a down spirit. Like, when the Lord reminds my heart of, like, the final victory and, like, where we're actually going, like, we all know the story. We're going to be with God forever. But when that, like, touches my heart, like, I just feel like I am, like, Superman. I can do anything. Like, you know, the devil can throw anything at me. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I know the end of this story. Like, I know that I'm going to make it, and we're going to live with Jesus forever. So I want to encourage you guys with this, just a couple of our thoughts. As we study the end times, just keep reminding yourself, find a couple verses of, I'll just give you some. Daniel 7:27 says, "And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." So just find verses like this in your Bible that are just like totally victory themed and like impossible that you can just like keep praying and keep just believing and say whatever you're going through, whatever comes, that this is the word of God, this is true. Look at, you have them up there. In Hebrews 12, you guys know this verse, but this is just a different perspective. Jesus did this. He constantly was reminding himself, there in verse 2, it says, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross." So Jesus, he didn't go through the end times, but he went through a hard time for sure. And he had his mind not set on the cross alone. He was saying, "Father, this is hard. This is crazy. Like, I'm going to go through this dark night of my soul, but I know the joy that is set before me. I know the final victory, and this is worth it to me." So that verse just commissions us at the beginning, to look to Jesus and to follow after him in that way. So just some practicals. Just find a verse. Just read the words. Pray them to God. Meditate on them. Just sing about them. Just build a history in these verses. Put yourself in the story of these verses. Many of you have heard about this book called The Final Quest. I just want to say you should go get it if you don't have it. It's just a really good resource for making the end times real, like telling it as a story. It's just been so helpful for me to just put myself in this story. I recommend that book. Just remind yourself of these things, these victories. Have your heart set on the final victory.
So for this, there's a story. So we like to read about martyrs a lot of times. That's how we prepare for the end times. So I just want to read the story, and then I'll tell you about hearts anchored in the final victory. A Chinese girl refused to betray the secrets of the underground church. Even though she had been tortured again and again, she was asked how she could bear so much suffering. "It was not hard," she replied. "I had been taught by my pastor that the real torture lasts very little. For 1 minute of torture, there are 10 minutes of glancing at the enraged faces and the implements of pain. I decided to keep my eyes closed the whole time. I did not see the stick before it hit me or afterward. The suffering was much reduced. I relied on the promise of Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I purified my heart of the fear of men, and I learned to see God. When the communists became aware of my defense, they stuck my eyelids open with tape, but it was too late. My vision had already taken on a new aspect, and I had seen God as so many had seen him before. The thing that we are living for is to see God. That's what we're living for. If we can get in our reality, if we can convince ourselves of this truth, that we are not living for this life, that it doesn't really matter what happens to us for the next 50 years, 60 years. It matters what happens to us for eternity. If we can change our view to that, then we can make it, because that's what we're living for. I want to see the face of God. I want to look into the eyes of fire, and I want to hear him say, "You did good. Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what I want. That's what I'm living for. So every trial, every circumstance, every difficulty is it's pushing on our hearts. It's getting what it does when we go through those things. It's pushing out who you really are. What you're like in the midst of persecution, in the midst of trials, that's who you really are. When that happens, we are able to pull that stuff up and we're saying, Lord, deal with this because I want to be a pure bride. I want to stand before you spotless, clean, and white. This is why the Lord has us go through hard things. It's not because he hates us. It's because he loves his son so much that he's not going to give his son a bride that has not been purified. This is what we're going through. We are allowing our hearts to be rended and torn so that we can look at our creator, our maker, our husband, and say, I am pure and spotless for you. I've been cleansed. This is why we go through the end times. This is why we suffer difficulty. This is what it's for, so that we can look into the eyes of the one who created us, pure and blameless and spotless.
Amen.
So that's
good. Amen. Well, thank you guys for, we got lots of questions coming in, so we're not going to be able to get to them all, but we'll do our best. And I'll talk to Amy. Maybe we can answer some of these. Have them for any future weeks. Okay, so, Kaylin, if you, I have a couple of the questions that are pre-programmed from a few weeks ago when we had the index cards. So, the first one is, should a Christian fear in the end times? And that is a really good question. So we talked about, there's going to be a lot of difficulties, a lot of things that, again, we don't get too excited about. We're not praying those in necessarily, but the Lord promised those. So it's going to be very real. Luke 21 actually talks about, Luke 21, 25, and 26, talks about people fainting with fear and with the foreboding of what is coming to the world, for the powers of heaven and earth will be shaken. So fear is a very real thing, and many are going to be like bound in fear, and it's going to be a very real temptation as the end times draw near. Just be honest with you that I'm not going to dodge away from that. But also, just know that, you know, it's all about perspective. It's about the victory in the end, and it's about the character of the Lord. You know, there's going to be, you know, sure, fear is going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted with fear, but we're going to have to fight that, just like anything else in our lives that is hard. We're going to have to fight to be not afraid. And just know the Lord's going to give grace. He's going to draw near to us. Just a principle, 2 Corinthians verse 1, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort that we have been comforted from God. So just this idea that the more affliction that the Lord brings us through is because he actually wants to comfort us with that equal measure of affliction that we experience. He wants to come in and show himself in a greater measure of comfort. So, the end times, lots of affliction, lots of hardships. Well, the Lord isn't going to, again, he's not going to be in heaven just, you know, saying, oh, I hope they make it down there. He's going to be actively involved, speaking, giving words of courage, words of comfort. Yeah. Revelation 10 and 11 talk about the Lord giving increased prophetic wisdom and direction to his church. Like, he is going, again, the end times are going to be fearful, but they're also going to be glorious, and the God is going to be more present, more real to you and I than ever before. I mean, there's going to be so much glory that the Lord is going to be comforting the church and empowering the church in the midst of fearful times. So, long answer, but that was my thoughts on that. Do you have any thoughts?
I'll just let you go to it.
Sure. Sure, Kaylin, if you want to put up question number two.
Oh, so on this one, so how do you train your children? So what I do is I tell my children the truth, and I tell them exactly what's going to happen, and we talk about it. We prepare so I do a lot of situation scenarios with my kids, which probably most mainstream parents wouldn't do, but my kids tell me that it doesn't make them afraid. So what I do a lot of times is I say, hey, Josiah, say mommy, like, say it's the end times and someone says, you need to deny Christ or I will shoot your mommy. What are you going to say? And I do this with my kids on a regular basis, and I've got them to the point where The thing is, here's the thing you have to prepare your kids for. This is not real. That is real. Eternity is what's real. This is not real. I'm going to say goodbye to you here, but then I'm going to see you. I'm constantly training my kids not to see me as I'm not their God. I'm not the one who can fix everything in their lives. I may not come back. I may not come back from the grocery store. I can't promise them that, but God is always with them. And so I say, go to God, go to God. God is always with you. He will always be there, no matter whether I'm there or not. God will always be with you. So my kids are like, yeah, Mom, I'll see you on the other side. I am not denying Christ, because Christ is the real. Christ is the real. We're spirits. We'll live forever. Christ is the real. And this body is wasting away anyway. And the other thing is, we talk a lot about heaven. We talk a lot about what heaven's going to be like, and it's so much fun, and it's so exciting, and about seeing God. Can you imagine what it'll be like to see God face to face, to look into his eyes of fire? We talk about the throne room a lot, because I want them to be more connected with that than this. And you know, one thing, I've never seen children respond well to the truth being withheld from them, whether it's like, you grow up, you're 20 years old, and you find out that your dad's not your real dad. That never works well. If you would have told them when they were five, they would have been okay with it. If you tell them when they're five, hey, things are going to get really tough. Mommy might get killed. It's okay. I'm going to see you on the other side. And then they're like, oh, yeah. And the thing is, if you have fear in your own heart, then you're gonna project that fear. But if you're excited, I'm excited about the end times. I am ready to get to heaven. I don't know about you, but this life hasn't been all that great all the time. So there's pain in my body, you know? And so I really want to see Jesus. And so I'm able to give that excitement to them that it's going to be fun. It's going to get hard. We know when we see these things happening, okay, it's going to get hard for a little bit. It's going to be like maybe 7 years. Birth pains are the things that get you down. Those can last for 50 years. But they know. They know that there's a greater reality, that there's a different home that we're living for. It's not about here. And so that's what you're trying to get your kids to realize. And then reading them stories about martyrs, it does so much to, oh, man, they went through it. They went through it. We're making our children brave. Yeah, we're not giving them a spirit of fear. They're going to be excited about this. We have warrior children. This is how you create warrior children, is you don't give them the fear. They're just like, you know, and I pray over all my children all the time, Lord, if they have to die, let it be quick. Let them not be tortured, you know, but give them grace to endure whatever it is that they're going to have to endure. I want to see my kids on the other side. This life is not real. It's the next life that counts. I want to see them. I don't want them deceived. I don't want them confused, because Mom told me she was going to come back, and she never came back. And Mom told me everything was going to be okay, and it's not okay. Like,
come on.
I don't want them to have to deal with that. I want them to be like, I knew this was happening. This is fine. I'm just going to see my mom in a little while. It'll be okay. And so, don't give them everything they want. Self-denial. Like, teach your kids to deny themselves. Because in a little while, it won't be self-denial. It'll just be denial. Like, we'll all be, like, in forced denial of ourselves. So, you know, it's okay that they don't get everything they want. It's okay that life doesn't always go the way that they want. So I push them a little harder. We go on walks. We go a little longer than they want to, because I want them to have a spirit of endurance. I want them to have that cultivated patient endurance. And every time we go on a walk or we do something hard, I'm like, this is end times preparation, because you're going to have to do stuff that's hard when you don't want to. And so it's, you know, like, we talk like this. This is just normal family culture. And so, you know, if you make it normal, they'll be like, man, you know, say it doesn't happen. Say it doesn't happen in their lifetime. Not likely, but say it doesn't. Then I'm just the crazy mom who made them do crazy stuff. But if, you know, if it does happen, then they'll be like, this was why my mom was crazy. So,
awesome.
That's all.
Okay. All right, so one of the questions that came in was when I was talking about the final victory, like, what does that mean? And what is it? Where is it? Who will be there? There's lots of aspects of the end times I would consider victories and final victory. So it's kind of like pick one. But for me, the biggest like victory will be the day that when Jesus actually comes back, the end of Revelation, when he comes back on the clouds and he brings the saints and heavenly hosts from heaven, that those of us who are alive on earth still are going to be raised up and meet him in the sky. Those who are already with the Lord are going to be riding alongside of him. So it's going to be this epic, like, coming back of Jesus, of coming to the earth. So, again, that's just an image and a picture that I love to, like, meditate. And I, you know, I'm cheesy, maybe, but I love to, like, put myself, like, okay, where am I going to be when Jesus comes back? You know, what am I going to be wearing? I want to be in the front of the army. You know, I want to, like, know his battle plan, like, so just put yourself in the story and begin to meditate on those things. Another final victory type verse that I love is the verse that talks about, just uses the phrase, and we will always be with the Lord. And I just chew on that and meditate on that, it's just this confidence that we're going to make it, that we're going to be with the Lord forever. So that's what I mean by final victory, is just like we know who is going to win. We know that we're going to be with Jesus forever in victory in his kingdom.
Okay, so this question is, what are some practical ways that we can rest? And for me, what I like to do is I like to read a scripture that has the imagery where I can put myself in a place. We do this with our kids a lot in children's ministry. But one of my favorite places to go is Revelation 4, and just it's the throne room, and so I just sit there and I imagine everything that's in the throne room, and I imagine Jesus looking at me with his eyes of fire, and he's like, Lord, just what do you want to say to me right now? And I'm telling you, the Lord can say anything to you. And it sounds so much better than when anybody else says it. Because anytime anybody else says it, it's like, that hurts, that's mean. But if the Lord tells you, it's like, oh, that was so good, that was so kind. Like, he's, you know, just allow yourself to soak in his presence. It's not where you're like, you're trying furiously to find every verse on every subject, but it's just that soaking, that abiding, that, you know, put on some worship music and just actively, you're actively resting in him because your thoughts are on him and you're singing songs to him and you're dwelling on him. This is how we rest in the Lord. And it's just, it's so good when you find scriptures that are just washing over your soul and they're just bringing comfort and balm to you. And like, you know, here's the thing. The Lord wants to commune with you. He wants to have you in his presence. It's not like he wants to withhold it from you. So it doesn't always have to be about, you know, doing something. That's where we get the oil. When I think about oil, it's the extra. It's the on top. It's like you don't really need it to survive, but you really need it to survive. And so, like, that's where we get, you know, that's what it is when he says, away from me, I never knew you. It's like so many times we're just trying to hurry up and like feed ourselves and get out. But that abiding is where we get strength from, where we get, you know, power from. And it's really easy. You don't really have to work for it very hard. You just have to be with him and let him speak to you. Sorry. Going
on. Okay, we'll take a couple more here. This one is as a question. Says, I've always thought that the end times was too confusing to really get it. Do you think that anyone can understand the end times? That's a great question. When I first started, I'm by no means an expert. When I first started studying the end times, I was like, oh my gosh, this stuff is crazy and confusing. So I was there. I've been there. I would say that the Bible is just, again, going back to the character of God, is he wants to be known. He wants to be found. He doesn't play hard to get in the sense of he wants us to be confused. Like, the Lord wants us to understand. He wants us to know who he is. He wants us to know his ways. So the end times, there's a lot of information. A lot of the, you know, a lot of the end times passages are, they take a little bit of staring at it. You know, a quick read, doing your five chapters a day or whatever Bible plan. You might have to spend a little more time, kind of going over a verse, reading it a couple times. What I would say with that is, yes, the end times is made to be understood. There are a few main symbols and keys, and there's resources I can help point you to if you want some help with that. There's a few main big topics or main keys of the end times that you need to know to understand, and the Bible actually tells us what they are. So yes, and I would just say to you, you may not get everything right away, but just be patient with yourself. Keep praying, keep reading your Bible, like the Lord is going to help you and guide you with that. So,
well, we don't really have time to get to all the questions, but I was going to say that the prayer room has a great resource, which I actually used a lot this week, of 101 FAQs on the end times. So if there's a question that we didn't answer, you may be able to find the answer on that that page. But also, just, don't depend on what we said tonight or what anybody says, really, as you're like, okay, now I understand the end times. Go and read it for yourself. Like, that's really the only way you're going to get it, because Brad may say something, and then I'm like, well, I don't really get that. But if I read it, then it becomes real to me. It becomes I can find questions, and then, find your questions, ask your questions, go back, read again, find your questions, ask your questions, and it's a process. And don't give up. Keep going. And the Lord has so much grace for hungry people. He does.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.